In the service order this morning, I've included another image, much as I did last week. This particular painting is by Rembrandt, and it is, appropriately enough, called Doubting Thomas. Rembrandt's depiction of this scene was copied by many other painters of his time, but the composition remains very similar from painting to painting. Rembrandt was amazing with his use of light and also with his ability to convey motion through very little actual movement of characters. So in his painting, we can see that Jesus is obviously the center of the painting and is almost depicted motionless, except the energy in the room is drawn to him. And he very effortlessly has lifted up his garment, perhaps the shrouds from his burial, to reveal his side. Thomas is recoiling, has jumped back almost, as it were. We can see Thomas's feet, we can see his complete body, and he's almost overwhelmed by seeing his Lord and by also seeing the wound. Their hands are very significant. Jesus' right hand is raised not so much to push Thomas away, but almost in blessing, as if to say, "My wounds and the sacrifice I have made for you, Thomas, need I say more?" And Thomas's right hand is turned not to push our Lord's hand away, but it's turned very awkwardly. The palm is facing us as viewers, and also it's facing the others in the room, as if to say, "I've heard enough. I've heard enough words and testimony. I believe. I believe. Just stop speaking, and just let me believe fully in what I see before me." We don't know why Thomas was not present on that Easter night, the first time our Lord appears in the upper room. We do know that he clearly was doubtful, and he had reservations, and he was, to some degree, shall we say, maybe stuck a bit in where he was, grieving surely for his Lord who had died. And maybe grieving also for what was before, what had been the life of Jesus, what had been his message and his ministry, the time that the disciples shared with Jesus. I think that you can see in those words, "Unless I have more, the past can't be redeemed. Unless there is something for me to grasp, I just would like to stay where I was in the past." We've heard now in these last few weeks, but particularly more recently, a call to reopen our lives, to reopen the economy, to be released from our homes and rooms in which we are shut up, to get back to normal, to have us go back to where we were before this virus hit. And I think in many ways, what all of us are struggling with is the reality that we're not going to go back to what life was completely the way it was before. Life has been changed by this disease and by this crisis that we face. And there is no going back to what life was exactly as it was before. There's only an acceptance now that life has to change, and that we have to embrace new ways of being, not only with each other, but as a country and as we relate to the world. I think when Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," what Thomas was accepting was that his Lord had been changed into a new and glorious Lord, a resurrected Lord, not just someone who had been physically raised from the dead, but who had been transformed into a new existence. Perhaps that's why Thomas's hand never quite seems to make it to touch Jesus's wound. He doesn't need to. his hand raised to repel others and us, and the words is his way of saying, now I accept change. I accept my Lord's resurrection. I accept what has happened. And my doubts, which really weren't so much doubts but resistance to faith, they've crumbled in the face of our Lord Jesus. And with the evidence now that I have before me, that a new life is mine to live. In one of the many poems and writings and things that have crossed my desk and my radar screen these last few weeks is a writing by Susan Pike entitled, appropriately enough, Lockdown. And as the disciples were locked down in that upper room for fear and for doubt, so too I think all of us have been locked down because of fear and of doubt. And her words, maybe a contemporary kind of retelling of the story, but her words, I'd like to just end this homily with for our thoughts and consideration. My heart on lockdown. Is it broken, sad? Is it beating? It races in empathy for those in need. It dreams nightmares with news so grim. It longs for leadership from the greatest generation, which it doubts will be ever witnessed again. Neighborhoods alive with life during daylight hours rarely seen. But with the schools closed and work suspended, life has slowed and is no longer driven. Beat on, my heart. It is not over yet. Beat on.